Man, I floundered the better part of this week, and part of it had to do with this terrible sickness that came through. But I asked Dad 2 days ago, I said, man, this is like the fourth or fifth year I've had to do a Christmas message. And, you know, Christmas and Easter are tough. They are for pastors, because every year, you know, it comes around and you're like, all right, you know, how do we, like, it's like the home run ball that you just don't know how to swing at. These times are tough. But anyway, saying that, I've basically this week, in the time that I spent praying that the Lord would just come and relieve me of my, I'm telling you, this sickness was awful, y'all. But I did have a lot of downtime this week to think and kind of marinate on things. And there's nothing smooth about it. I've just got a bunch of thoughts jumbled down that I want to share with you this morning. And so that's what I'll do. And we'll get out of here a little early. I told you that last week. But before I get into what I want to share with you, we've got a video that'll kind of set the stage for it. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free, from our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Some of you, that's the second or third time you've seen that video. I love it. You'll probably see it again in the future. And one of the things that I love about that video is how it shows us the landscape not in incredible detail. There's, you know, but a lot of the highlights of the Old Testament that lead up to the incarnation. I mean, it right off the get-go, we're reminded how this whole thing got set into motion. Dad mentioned it last night. I mean, if you go back and you read the beginning of Genesis and you just think about how awesome that must have been, you know, to be in union with God, how He planned it to be, and then how completely and utterly awful it must have been to see that relationship change. But just as quickly as that relationship changed and everything else changed with it, God set into motion this plan of redemption. And you see there at the beginning of Genesis, you read how the plan is going to play out. Again, not in tremendous detail, but we read that there's going to forever be conflict between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, and the serpent's going to strike the heel of the seed of the woman, but that same seed's eventually going to crush the head of the serpent. And all of Scripture shows those events playing out. This plan of redemption that God set into motion. And as we look over those events, we see miracles, we see promises, we see lineages, we see commandments, we see prophecies, and all of those things point towards that one event that culminated with the arrival of our promised Savior, Jesus the Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, leaving the splendor of heaven for the brokenness of earth. And Galatians 4:4 tells us that it wasn't accident, it wasn't luck, it wasn't happenstance. Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of the time came, which pretty much tells us that, you know, God had His hand on this. And when the time was right, when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son. You put that against the backdrop of come thou long expected Jesus. I mean, this is something that we have no concept of. We live in a society of instant gratification. If I don't get free two-day shipping on something, I get bent out of shape. Mandy and I were at Chick-fil-A 2 weeks ago. And you know, at Chick-fil-A, your food gets to you before you're even done ordering it most of the time. It's like they know what you want before you know what you want. And we were at Chick-fil-A, and man, we sat in line for like 5 minutes. I was like, this is the slowest Chick-fil-A I've ever been to. And now they were busy. There were 1,000 people there, but you know, 5 minutes, come on. They know what I want before I know what I want. We live in this society of instant gratification. And so for us to think about what it would have been like over the landscape of time, as we read about it in the Old Testament, for these people to always be waiting and waiting and longing and expecting this promised Messiah to come. Dan and Michelle sang a song last night. O come, Emmanuel. You know, that name, Emmanuel, what does it mean? God with us. I'm pretty sure there's more Christmas carols about that name than there are mentions of it in the Scripture. You know, in the Scripture, we see that name 3 times. And the first time that it's mentioned is in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Now, we see the reality of God with us all throughout the scripture, but we only see the name three times. And the first time's here in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Now, that's a verse that we can pluck out and put on a Christmas card, or, you know, throw it out there as a status update on Facebook or any of these things. And we read that and we say, well, what a beautiful verse that is. What a wonderful reminder that is that God is not a God who is far off, but he's a God that's personal. He is a God that is with us. You know the significance of it here in Isaiah 7:14. There was a king, and I'm just going to pronounce it like it looks here, Ahaz. All right. If I wanted to get into the Hebrew of it, I would, you know, I'd bore you, so I won't do that, you know, and all the different enunciating and stuff like that. So we'll say he's Ahaz. And to show you how much things have changed since what we've been looking at in Joshua. You know, in Joshua, the people are going in and they're possessing the land and they're learning to trust the Lord and he's giving them everything. When we see what we see in Isaiah chapter 7, the land has been possessed. The people have fallen into idolatry. The nation had split into two different tribes, the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. Israel is all but, you know, defunct by this time. Judah, they're still kind of up and down. But here, Judah has a king named Ahaz. And Ahaz was a wicked king. Those of you that know much about the history of the kingdoms know that, you know, sometimes they had good kings and sometimes they had bad kings. And Ahaz was one of those kings that even the pagan kings around him saw the things that he did and they were like, man, that dude, something wrong with him. And there were two kings in particular that wanted to conquer Ahaz and his people. And understandably, that concerned Ahaz. And so naturally, he's going to go and he's going to appeal to God, right? No. Remember, Ahaz is a wicked king. He goes and he finds the next strongest king that doesn't want to attack him and tries to make him his ally. And you know how he does that? Here's another example of how far the people have fallen. You remember, we just talked about in chapter 7 about the battle belonging to the Lord and the spoils belonging to God. And remember, there were things after they conquered Jericho that were under the ban. They were to be dedicated to the Lord, the gold, the silver, the bronze, all those precious things. Well, you know, sometime later, the temple's built and all those things go to the temple. And they still belong to the Lord. Ahaz went in and he raided the temple. And he took the silver and the gold and all the precious things and he gave them to this other king to try and make him an ally. You think, good grief, man. How far these people have fallen. And it's at that time the word of God comes to Isaiah and then goes to Ahaz. And this is what the word is. He's concerned, obviously, that these people are going to get wiped out by these two kings who want to take their land. And so God sends him a word. The Lord's going to give you a sign. A virgin will be with child. She'll bear a son. And she'll call his name Emmanuel. He will be God with us. Like, this is a reminder that this plan is still working itself out. You don't have to do all this. God is still in control. This is still going to happen. Now, I don't know how Ahaz responded to it, but I know the other man who was on the receiving end of this word was in a, I don't want to say similar situation, but a similar situation. Both of these men were in a little bit of a chaotic time in their life. That was the background for Ahaz. People wanted to come, they wanted to kill him, they wanted to take his land. So God says, listen, you're going to get a sign. God will be with you. Now, it's a good thing that Ahaz didn't hold his breath, because almost 700 years later, it happened. But it still served as a great reminder that God had a plan. And that plan was working even in the midst of chaos. And so the other person that needed that reminder in the midst of chaos was Joseph. Listen to Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Now, if we were to put ourselves in Mary or Joseph's shoes, you can understand how difficult of a situation this would have been on the level of earth. Specifically here, for the purpose of the direction, we'll isolate Joseph. I mean, you've got things planned out. You have things mapped out. Things are looking good. Here's the pattern. Here's the direction of your life. You just got to go, and all of a sudden, surprise. At least in his mind, chaos must have ensued. But how quickly did that chaos turn to purpose and excitement and anticipation with this word? God is going to come. God is going to be with you. And you get to have this tremendous part in it. But along with that was going to come ridicule, because not everybody was going to understand. Not everybody was going to understand. For some, he was the long-expected, greatly anticipated Messiah. But for others, he was just another baby who grew into another man. Have any of you ever given a gift to a child that you knew without the shadow of a doubt was going to be the greatest gift ever? The gift to end all gifts. They'll never need another gift after this gift. You were just sure of it. You've been there? How long did that last? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? A week? I remember last year we thought this with Eli. He's all the time sees me driving around on the tractor, and he thought he needed a little tractor. So we got him a little tractor. True feat of modern engineering, this little John Deere tractor made out of plastic. Push a pedal and it goes. He'd follow me around in the yard on that thing. But on the day that he got it, he opens the box and 5 minutes later, what's he doing? Playing with the box. It's unreal. This is going to be the greatest thing ever. Playing with the box. I think about how we treat gifts and how quickly we pass them over. And as I think about that, I'm always humbled to think that God gave literally the most precious gift of all, knowing that many people would never see the value in that gift. Some wouldn't even get excited about the they wouldn't even get excited about the box. They just I mean, from my standpoint, and Mandy and I have these discussions, Eli will say, I want this, and we'll think about it, and you know, how long is this going to occupy him? Is this going to be a, you know, let's weigh the pros and cons before we do this. And sometimes we come away saying, you know, we're not going to make that purchase because it's frivolous or because he won't really appreciate it or, you know, and as parents, many of you have probably been in that same position. But you know what's amazing is that God did not look at us that way. He didn't look down and say, man, Joel, I don't know that he's going to truly appreciate my son Jesus, so I'll just hang on to him. He didn't do that. God came and lived among us. He left the splendor, the glory of heaven to live in this broken world. And God knew that people would... They would say, Jesus, isn't that the carpenter's son? People would say, Jesus, you Christians, you're brainwashed. You're wrong in the head. Jesus, hey, didn't he invent Santa Claus? Just all these. God knew it. And yet he didn't say, these people aren't going to appreciate it. I'm not going to send the most precious gift of all. He did it anyway. He did it anyway. And that just absolutely blows my mind, folks, that God would do that. When I read that in Matthew 13, the people listening to what Jesus say, and they say, isn't this the carpenter's son? I would just want to be like, go back to Matthew 1. Read his lineage. You know, you got to get excited about that. Look at where he came from. But so many people just don't see the value. And to be honest, there's times during the year where I neglect to see the value. Lord, help me in that. I love John's introduction to the incarnation and that same connection, you know, thinking about how big and how perfect of a gift Jesus was. Listen to what John says in chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And then in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Isn't that amazing? That in one verse, he is the agent of creation. And then in another verse, he's a human being. Just like us. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. You know, folks, it doesn't say that he came to redeem those who were waiting and watching and expecting. He came to redeem those who were under the weight of a law that they could not stand up under in order that they could become part of the family of God. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And one of the reasons that is my favorite verse is because of how personal it is. In that one verse, you see us, we, us. Not for those who were good enough or those who waited long enough. I reflect on that verse this morning and I say, folks, we are we in that verse. We are us in that verse. You're the reason that God became flesh. You are the reason that God dwelt among men. And I pray that you know and understand what that means this Christmas, because folks, eternal life given us by Jesus is the greatest gift that we can ever receive. His birth was for his death, and his death was for our birth. And that's my timer. But before we finish, let me share one last thing with you, because I shared with the guys before we started. You know, so often we focus in on Christ for this part of the season, and we think about God with us during the Advent season, and then we begin to, you know, think about God with other things. But Matthew starts out with this wonderful hope-filled message of God with us, Emmanuel. But then at the end of Matthew, Jesus leaves us with this wonderful message at the end of the chapter. And so while it starts with God with us, God is going to be with us, the chapter ends with, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's pray. Father, we want to tell you again this morning how much we love you and how thankful we are for your Son Jesus, the greatest gift of all. Father, work these things in our hearts this morning. Remind us, as only you can do, that this season is not about decorations or presents, food. It's about Jesus. Lord, help us in this coming year to share that gift with someone else. Lord, we love you, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.